Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you're better off dead with a gun in your hand, pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar.
Good evening. What's going on, y'all? Welcome, welcome. It's Sunday evening. Near the end of the NFL preseason. Got to wrap it up here. So anyway, this is your hostess with the mostest, I should say. Scott Burks. I'm the author of the sports blog, The Clown Town, so The Clown Spelled with a K. And this is the Clown Hour. And if you want to follow me on the web, just check me out. Just type in your URL window, www.theclowntimes.net. You can also find me on Facebook, just acting a fool with everybody else. Just type in the search window in Facebook, or you can Google me if you want, The Clown Times. That's, again, that's Clown Spelled with a K. You'll be able to find me there. This is pretty cool because I've been talking to this lady for a while. She's actually the creator and owns NFLFemale.com. So we're going to talk football with her right quick and just get to know the brains behind NFLFemale.com. And her name is, and please help me get this right, Liz Panucci or
Panucci?
That's correct. Okay,
Panucci
cool. Panucci is great. So, Liz, welcome to the Clown Hour. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me on tonight.
And thank you for joining me. As I was mentioned earlier, I really love your website. And again, for those who want to check you out, just go to NFLFemale.com. But before I ruin your fun, just tell me what led to the creation of NFLFemale.com?
Well, it all started in the 80s because I'm a big fan of Dan Marino and the Dolphins back then.
Uh-oh.
And I live in Canada. And up in Canada, I live on the west coast of Canada, and in Canada, everything is hockey, hockey, hockey. So all my friends, all they want to talk about was hockey, and my brothers, all they like to talk about was hockey. And I was a football girl. I just loved it, you know, right from the first moment I saw it. So I finally got the chance about 4 years ago to go to Sun Life Stadium and hang out with all the fans and watch the Dolphins play. And one thing I really noticed was that there was so many women there, and they were there with other women, and or they were there cheering on just as hard as the guys were. And so I knew that there's something that had to be done about that. There's a lot of female fans. So I went home and over the next year worked on creating NFLFemale.com with a friend of mine, and we went live 3 years ago.
Wow. And from looking at your website now, you have pretty much a contributor for every team. Is that right?
That's right. We actually have over 50 writers, but what we do at
wow.
NFLFemale.com, we have one official fan reporter for each NFL team. So we have 32 ladies, and they represent us to the team. They represent us to the NFL world, and they're fantastic ladies, and we seem to really attract the best of the best because these are all ladies who, this isn't their profession, they just truly, truly love the game, and they found us, and everything has been done through Twitter and Facebook. It was only recently at the Hall of Fame when we were all in Canton that I got to meet a few of them, but most of it was all done online. So that's a really cool thing about social media is how we can connect.
Right, right, exactly. And trust me, I'm learning that lesson every single day. So you mentioned the you guys have a report for every team. So I think you may have said this already. So are these like quote unquote real reporters, or are they fans doing this just because they really love the game and the teams that they're covering?
They are fans. Nobody gets paid at NFLFemale.com. It's all on a volunteer basis, and we call ourselves the sisterhood because the NFL has
right.
the brotherhood. So yeah, that's really
right.
cool.
I like that. I like that. So speaking of the sisterhood, I noticed that over the past few years, Roger Goodell, even though I hate him, has done has been doing a decent job in attracting female fans, more female fans to the game. In your eyes, since you guys are up close and personal with it, how do you think the NFL is faring with the female demographic? Do you think they could be doing better, or is it pretty much up and steady?
They can definitely be doing better. As far as the ladies at NFL Female are concerned, they're not hitting their target market, which is the everyday fan. It's the mom. It's the wife. It's, you know, she's got a lot of things she's got to do, and she's juggling the kids and driving and all that, but she just happens to really love the game. And I have to say that most of the ladies that are belong to the sisterhood, they are either not married, they're either single, or else their husbands don't even watch the game. And that's the majority of the women. Ooh. So they're really targeting the wrong demographics as far as we're concerned. And we would love to become the core group or the focus group for the NFL so that they can see who their real fans are. And we have such a good mix. We have all ages. We have 16 up to 60, and, you know, from all over the country. So I think we could be a good focus group. But, no, I believe they can do much better.
So what would be the game plan for Liz at NFLFemale.com to help Roger Goodell and company get it, as far as, like, marketing it better to create more, to foster more of the female demographic?
Well, I think they need to cater more to the everyday fan, for sure. And like everybody says, it's not all about the jerseys. Yes, we all, you know, all of us like to wear the jerseys of our favorite player and our team and everything. So we'll definitely go out and be buying those. But it's just about respecting the individual and the knowledge of the fan, because a lot of our ladies, they either grew up, their dad was coaching football, or even their mom was just a lover of the game. And so a lot of it has stemmed from way back in generations, you know, so it's kind of cool. And these ladies just love the game, and that's who they need to focus on more, is that aspect of it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny, because you would actually like my wife's side of family. Like, she grew up with no brothers, but she comes from a sports-loving family. And she's rich with Cincinnati, so they're all Bengals fans, God bless them. But, you know, her younger sister, her mom, like, her mom's a graduate of Michigan. And, like, her younger sister, huge Bengals fan, huge sports fan in general. But somehow it skipped my wife for some reason. So maybe that marketer could help for her, since she came from a sports fan. But I'll tell her this. But I'll say this. He's getting a lot better, maybe because I'm so crazy about it, and the fact that something may have clicked in the head that, gee, since my sister, my mom liked it so much, liked sports so much, maybe I should jump in the fray. But she's doing a lot better. So to your point, Roger Goodell and company could use my wife as an example of, like, marketing to that crowd and trying to foster more, because the interest is at least there, but the seed is not really germinated, if you will.
Exactly. And you know what? And that's one thing that NFLfemale.com is focusing on definitely this year and years to come, is a football 101. It's a simple, easy PowerPoint presentation that can be done at home or in a little gathering where you get about 10 women together. And they're all newbies who don't know anything about football. And it's, you know, once the ladies join a team and start to have fun with the family, and they become very, very loyal fans. And that's where the market, that's where Roger Goodell and the NFL really needs to focus on. And I think they are heading that direction, but we're kind of helping them along with some Football 101. And I have to say, I did this with my sister-in-law's. The two of them were in town this summer, and so I got them together, and we did some football 101 together, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. And I actually was impressed how much they had picked up from all of us, just being around the family and us fans, that they weren't letting on, you know. But they need that confidence to share in the conversation. So that's what we do here.
Cool. And so that's the thing. So speaking of Roger Goodell and catering, or not catering, but fostering more of a female demographic, A couple of things happened over the summer, which I'm sure you already know about. First of all, it was Ray Rice knocking the hell out of his then fiance, now wife, at that casino. The picture of him dragging her caveman style off of the elevator. And also, Greg Hardy in Carolina getting cited on a domestic violence charge against, I think it was wife or his living girlfriend, I forget which. But at any rate, to see how, well, first of all, Roger Goodell hadn't ruled on Greg Hardy yet, but he offered, well, not offered, but he handed Ray Rice what I thought was a slap on the wrist. And I'm not just saying that just because I'm talking to a female. Obviously, I really think that's bullshit. That you're going to hand a guy who visibly took care of this, not even care, drug his wife off the elevator, you know what I mean, and for the world to see, yeah, he only gets 2 games. So my question to you is, does shit like that have a potential negative effect on female fans, which I imagine it would, but why did Roger Goodell totally miss the boat on that?
Well, we have to understand that Roger Goodell, as far as I believe, he does not actually make the decisions. He's only the one that announces the decisions. And so he has people that he is accountable to. And so that's one thing. But I will tell you that I would think 99.9% of women would have to agree with you and that was not the proper fine that should have been given to Ray Rice. And
right.
You know, and that's just wrong that all happened. And that's one good thing about NFLfemale.com. We try and focus on the positive aspect of the player and the NFL. So we like to get to know the player behind the scenes and off the field.
Sure.
And there are so many, many good guys out there that are really good family guys, and they treat their families with respect. They love their mother, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll do anything for the women in their life. And that's what we really like to focus on, and so that's really cool. And we think that eventually it's going to come around, but, you know, it could take a little bit, but it's happening more and more every day. So, yes, definitely we do not agree with the Ray Rice handling of that by the NFL.
Yeah, and to your point, Ray Rice seems to be a guy with a clean track record before this happened, with a clean track record that has aligned the community in Baltimore. I live in the D.C. area, so, you know, relatively close to Baltimore. But, you know, he's a decent young brother. He obviously loves his mama as well because he's talked about his mom a lot. And, you know, like I said, a good community guy. But I'm going to get away from Ray Rice personally for a minute. But it seems to me like, and I know that Josh Gordon had issues with weed before, but not only, you know, it seems that, you know, even if you first-time offender with marijuana, you get 4 games. And Ben Roethlisberger of my Steelers, years ago when he was accused of a sexual assault on that young lady in Georgia, he never got charged, but he got 6 games that was later reduced to 4. And now, just post that now with Rice and a 2-game suspension for physically assaulting a woman. That, I mean, the inconsistency, it just sends a bad message that things are more important than domestic violence. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and there's definitely some inconsistencies there, and we don't know the whole story, and I doubt if we ever will.
Right.
But, you know, let's just hope that you know, that it gets all straightened out and there is some consistency and that these guys start acting more mature and doing what's right. You know, that's what we're all hoping for.
Yeah, and so one thing, and I'm gonna get away from the neck for a minute and focus on the more humorous side of things. I meant to ask this earlier. You are a Dolphins fan who's also Canadian, a Canadian Dolphins fan. It seems to me that a lot of Canadians that I went to school with, worked with in the past, most of them happen to be Buffalo Bills fans. So how did the Dolphins resonate with you? I know you say you're a fan of Dan Marino, but how did a lady in Canada become a fan of the Dolphins? I'm just curious about that one.
Okay, well, I have to tell you, I live on the West Coast, so it's the total opposite of Miami. And so maybe that's why, maybe because I've always been kind of a rebel, and so I just went the opposite. But, you know, in Canada, East Coast and West Coast are so different. It's like two different countries in Canada. So
sure.
all everybody out in the Toronto and Buffalo area, they're obviously going to stick together. And then the Montreal and the Giants, they're all big fans too. So, but, yeah, there wasn't much happening in the West, so I ended up with that. And it all started because my brother brought home this game, and it was called Stratomatic Football. And it was basically pre-Madden. It was a board game, and it had the stats from every team, and you were the coach, and you did the call, whether it was offense or defense, and, you know, it was a three-hour game. And so we started playing that, and I just always ended up getting the Dolphins, too, and they were winning for me. So I thought, okay, that just seals the deal right there.
That's hilarious. It's almost as if, you know, you pretty much found a team in the board game that you were good with, and I said, you're like, okay, let me just roll this team. I mean, I'd say it's just a very quick story about how I became a Steelers fan. I grew up in North Carolina, right? Even though I'm originally from New York. I saw a team in black. I was like 8 years old. It's the early 80s. I saw a team in black just beat the dog piss out of someone, and their team was like Cleveland, which led me to hate Cleveland as well. But, you know, I was like, Dad, who is that team? He said, oh, that's the Steelers. So I like them, Dad. And then that same day, like, my dad's a Redskins fan. And I never heard him cuss, but that was one of the few times I heard him cuss, was he was watching Joe Theismann get thrown around like a rag doll against a team in white with the cheerleaders, with the glitzy cheerleaders and everything. That's back when boys didn't like girls. So I was like, you know, I don't like this team, you know, because I didn't like to see a team that made my dad so upset. That's how I started hating the Cowboys. So that's how I formed my allegiance the same day, literally the same day.
And that's it's amazing.
It's funny. Like, it stays with me, like, a little over 30 years later. You know what I mean? So it's pretty funny. So I know that you're on borrowed time, and I appreciate you being here. But I'll get you out of here with this one last question.
Sure.
Who do you see representing the AFC and the NFC in the Super Bowl, and who do you see taking it home?
Okay, well, you're going to love this story then, being a Steelers fan, is because we're in the middle of writing an article right now where all the ladies had to pick who they were going to get, you know, was going to be in the Super Bowl 49. And so me, I have to kind of stay unbiased. And so what I did was I put all AFC teams in one hat, and then I put all the NFC teams in another hat, and I did a reverse draw. So I would pull a team out, and I'd say, okay, you're not going to be in the Super Bowl. And then I'd do another one, you're not going to be in the Super Bowl. And so I did that until I had one team left in each hat. And it ended up being two classic teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Dallas Cowboys, and I picked the Steelers to be the winner.
Oh, that's nice. You know what? That's almost like people like choosing their March Madness brackets. You know what
exactly.
I mean? It's like
it's
either the mascot or, you know, different color schemes. And I've seen them do it this way, color schemes, and they end up taking it home. So, like for humor's sake, I hope you're right. I personally think that, especially that showing against the Eagles, we have a lot of work to do. And the Cowboys can't stop a nosebleed. Just put it this way: I could round up 10 other cats in Southeast D.C. and run up 30 points to the Cowboys defense. That's how bad a Cowboys defense is. but me personally, I have the Seahawks getting back there. I take that back. I had the Seahawks getting there, but I saw the Saints play the other night. Drew Brees, less than 100% Drew Brees, threw two touchdowns in the first quarter. And I know they're still mad at the Panthers. I know they're still mad at Roger Goodell for screwing them 2 years ago. I had them getting back to the Super Bowl and playing Peyton Manning and Denver, and pretty much I have Denver right now taking it home. That will change, though, that they – it's subject to change, but I swear I think I have. And I'm sticking.
Well, that sounds really cool. And, you know, and that's the whole beauty of the season, is we really don't know what's going to happen. And it's just fun watching it every week unfold, isn't it?
It is. And that's why I love the game so much. That's why we all love the game so much. Liz, tell everyone how they could find you on Twitter and on the web besides Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, so you can find the ladies of the sisterhood at nflfemale.com. That's our website, and we have over 1,700 articles on there right now, so there's always lots to read on there and always new ones coming up every day. And you can find us, we're on Twitter a lot, and it's at nflfemale. And we're also on Facebook. We have Marquita, who is in the New York area, and every day there's a game. She's on Facebook, and it does a live feed onto Twitter, and she's given us a whole bunch of game updates. And so it's always fun to go and chat with Marquita, too. So that's where you can find us. And if you know any female writers that love the game of football, send them our way. We always love hearing what they have to say and sharing their love of the game, too.
Coolness. Hey, Liz, thanks a whole lot for joining me. I know you did this on kind of short notice. I know you're on ball time with the NFL going on. But thank you very much. This was fun. I hope to have you back again in the future.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. It was great.
Go on. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, good night. That was Liz Bernici from NFLfemale.com. Please check her out. Her website is awesome. The Sisterhood represents during the season. And also on Twitter, they do tweet a lot, so it's a good follow if you want to check them out as well. So very interesting conversation, you know. It's good to see the sisterhood represent like that. But anyway, we're going to continue the NFL Superfan series tomorrow with my main man, Cedric Call, previewing the 49ers. And we're going to get a few more in after that during the week. So stick around and stay tuned. So now, Scott Perks, your boy with the Clown Hour, 06. Good night. Take care.